The following is a production of Snake Tree Media. This is Urgent Frequency, the Sonic sit-rep for Urgent Fury, the hottest tactical gamer community on the World Wide Web. And now, here's your host, Commander Claymore Fury.
Hoo-yah, Frequency Freaks! I am Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, May 13th, 2012. Well, I sure do hope all you mothers out there enjoyed your special day. And as a special gift from me to you, I thought it would be a good idea to answer some of gaming's burning questions. Like, where did Commander Fury come from? And why does he have that stupid look on his face? So in this episode, I'll practically interview myself. Well, with a little help, of course, from Rumpo of the Nuketown Hooligans. Lather, rinse, repeat. This is Urgent Frequency.
Hey, this is Ringer 82.
This is Stiletto.
This is Rogue Doc.
This is Sergeant Dredd.
And this is White Falcon.
And we're the off-duty gamers, and you're listening to Urgent Frequency only on UrgentFury.com.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Next time on Urgent Frequency Television, Willie T returns with some tips and tricks to help you navigate through Mass Effect 3. Then Lieutenant Leadhead is back with another installment of Bullet Points, and we'll tell you if Sony's sorcery can cast a spell on the video game industry. It's all next time on Urgent Frequency Television, exclusively on PlayStation Home. Be sure to visit www.urgentfury.com for more information about Urgent Fury or Urgent Frequency Television. Urgent Fury. Win with honor. Lose with dignity.
There are times when you have so much to say, just so little time.
Excuse me, what?
Good thing there's Twitter. We got you covered with the latest and the most talked about topics, 140 characters at a time. Follow us on Twitter.
Urgent Frequency.
This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former Grangekeeper now about to become the Masters Champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Commander Fury.
My guest tonight joins me from London, Ontario, Canada, or the great LOC, as I like to call it. He is definitely the second most dangerous man I've ever met in my life. He's my partner in crime, my BFF, if you will, for at least the last 8, 9, 10, it seems like 20 years or so, but it definitely hasn't been that long. He goes by the handle of Rumpo in the gaming world, but I know him as my buddy Bill, Big Bad Bill. What's going on, sir? Welcome to Urgent Frequency. This is actually the second time I think you've been here, but this is the first time you've ever uttered a word on Urgent Frequency.
Yeah, I shyly listened. Listened in on a conference call one time for Urgent Frequency, but ever since doing the Nuketown Hooligans with you, I've found my voice, and let's roll.
I should have actually mentioned that in my impromptu intro. I don't know, you turned me on to the world of commentators on YouTube. And At first I didn't really get it. I'll be honest with you. At first I thought, what's the big deal? But, and this is going to sound like a stupid reason for me to understand it or like it any better. But, you know, I'm the kind of guy that when I buy a DVD, one of my favorite things to do, and I know that most people probably don't do this, but I enjoy watching the commentaries, like whether it's the directors or the stars of the movie. And I'm not saying I'm going to go out and rent... you know, kindergarten cop and watch the commentary. I'm just saying I do enjoy doing that. So the way I look at it, I thought, oh, okay, so it's kind of like them talking about the game that they're playing or maybe whatever's on their mind. And once I kind of got a grasp of it, man, it turns out that, of course, I did an interview with Only Use Me Blade a couple of episodes back. It was our Halloween episode. The guy has more subscribers than some major celebrities out there. But anyway, you talked me into doing this Nuketown Hooligans thing, and we've been talking about you coming on the podcast and hanging out with me. And one thing, even though I'm always trying to find out about other people in the Urgent Fury community or the gaming industry or whatever, I've never really talked about my roots or where I came from or my gaming heritage, if you will. So I do appreciate you taking the time to come by and hang out with me, and I hope that we can unravel some of that, and maybe it will enlighten people, and at the same time maybe they'll be mildly entertained by our antics.
Well, if you get to know me in a gaming way, you are most definitely going to get to know Viper, and it'll almost always spill over into personal. That's for sure. So, you know, if you talk to me too much, Viper's coming up. I just screwed up and used Viper.
You see, that's okay, though. That's okay. I think most people know that Commander Fury is Viper. Viper is Commander Fury. I used to hide. I can do the voice thing right now. Commander Fury. Oh, it didn't work. I pushed the wrong button. Oh, here it is. Commander Fury. I think that when Jay Simon or Undertow, one of the creators of Urgent Fury, when he left, when he and Joseph sold Urgent Fury to the new ownership and he pulled out, I think we were both up in the air. I always told him, look, I don't want to give away who I am, because it'll take away from the mysteriousness of it and people won't know who it is. And I mean, some people kind of figured it out. There, you know, if you game with me enough and you listened to me enough, I've got a very distinctive voice, so it's like, oh.
I recall playing games with you and having people that we knew come into our lobbies and go, hey, wait a minute, you sound an awful lot like that Commander Fury guy, and we'd be like, you're an idiot, dude. You have no idea what you're talking about.
It was so much fun to both deny it and to watch people figure it out, or to listen to people figure it out. So that was kind of always the plan. So when Jay and Joseph sold Urgent Fury, I didn't know that they would want me to stick around. I really didn't. So I just kind of assumed that we were on our way out, and it was a cool little run, and Urgent Frequency would be no more. But Jay Simon, he made the effort to give me just dues, and in his farewell post on the forums, and he let the cat out of the bag and let everybody know and stuff like that. So since then, it's not really been a secret, but I still like to I still like to watch people figure it out, like we're in a lobby or something, and people figure it out. But back to the origins, how did a guy that just plays video games end up doing a podcast and basically being, I don't know, probably the creative?
Well, I'm gonna give your gaming biography here, because you're kind of interviewing yourself through me. I don't appreciate being used, sir, but
it's not what I heard. But go ahead.
Yeah, it occurred to me really early on. For those that don't know, I mean, you and I met, and this was in 2004 on a video game. And I remember the very first game we ever played together, and you said to me, "What do you need me to do?" And we were playing on SOCOM 2. It was a night map with a lot of snow, and I don't remember what the name of it is now. Had the big base on the hill, that kind of thing.
Was it Blizzard?
What do you need me to do? And from that point on, we were always kind of, as we like to call it, swim buddies, where we would watch each other's backs. But as we went on, and you were the leader of a clan, and I was the executive officer, you always had this thirst for to get involved. And I guess it probably comes from your disc jockey days in radio. I don't know if anybody knows that that's what you used to do or not, but I believe that you have quite the extensive history with that. But I remember when you wanted to get us into Urgent Fury, I actually thought, hey, man, this is not a good idea. We're not good enough for that. It's, you know, it seems kind of lame in the whole nine yards. And I don't mean to work in Urgent Fury. I mean just to play in the tournaments they have. And when we got into them, that was some of the most fun that we ever had. And you just, people love you, man. You aligned yourself with the creators, and we got to know Undertow and Sniper as I know them. And you ended up working for Urgent Fury, and to look at where you started in the gaming world and where you are now, phenomenal, dude.
Well, you're very sweet, and you're probably being way too kind, but...
No, that's accurate, man. You're going to downplay it like I'll downplay my chopper skills, but... But seriously, you really have, man. Like you've moved up a lot, and look at the people you know. I mean, you know game developers, you know community managers. You have people that you know you've never met that will go to bat for you in professional ways. And dude, not a lot of people can claim that. And that's the truth.
Well, I certainly do appreciate it. And you know it's always been for the community. And I you know I do want to talk about that. One of the reasons that I felt so strongly about Urgent Fury was not it had nothing to do with the lights and whistles, although you got to admit, man, the lights and whistles have always been cool in Urgent Fury. But when we first...
Sniper's a talented guy. I'm just going to throw that in there.
When we first got here, I remember that it seems like half the clan was really into it and half the clan was like, what's going on? And before we knew it, and we didn't even know what happened, but just it seemed like it was overnight, but it was a matter of 4 or 5 years. We went from being just like this little group of guys who... I wouldn't say that we were, you know, pro gamers, but we did. I mean, we were one of the hardest clans to get into, and we were one of the easiest clans to get kicked out of. We had rules, and like I said in a commentary earlier that we did with the Nuketown Hooligans, I live by this new rule. Integrity has no need of rules, and it's from Sisyphus. Look it up. But anyway...
just to give people an idea of how serious we were, I once made... a person in a video game run laps around the outside of a map as punishment. And he did it because he wanted to stay in the clan so bad. Not one of my prouder moments, but pretty hilarious.
I'm trying right now to remember the name of that map. It had the airport, and it was used the Bradley vehicle and on SOCOM 3, I guess.
Combined assault.
But anyway, I do remember that. And but anyway, our clan was something a little bit different. You know, we really didn't go for... we didn't care about your KDR, man. We didn't care about your rank. We didn't care about all the kills you could get and how good you were at the game. What we cared about was kind of like it was kind of like a microcosm of Urgent Fury, because it was more about, you know, playing with good people and making friends and friendships that really lasted. You know, Jack UK, who is otherwise known as Jack UK Dellhouse, host of Urgent Frequency Television, he too was a former clanmate of ours, and I think that's why we all ended up in the same circle, because we're all good people, we're all intelligent people, and ultimately the thing that I've always said about Urgent Fury, and I'll say it to the day I die, man, is Urgent Fury without the community is just a good idea. And, you know, my frustration in the last year or so has not been that we haven't had a game to come out that would accommodate an Urgent Fury tournament, or even quote-unquote mismanagement that has occurred within. But what's really disappointed me the most about Urgent Fury in the last year or so is the fact that the community became this community of entitlement. They felt like, well, this you're supposed to give us this, and you're supposed to. And to me,
like the New York Yankees, then
it is. Well, it is. It used to be like everybody stood up for each other, and everybody would go to bat for each other, and the competition and the camaraderie was what made Urgent Fury special. But what happened was the camaraderie started coming second to the competition. People wanted to win so badly that they started compromising what they knew was basically right. It's just a video game, but you know, and we could rant.
Sorry to jump in on you, but I remember when we started in Urgent Fury, there was a competitiveness, but at the same time, when we weren't in a clan war, or I guess that's what it was called, right? It was a war.
Yeah.
When we weren't in a war, the guys that we would play the night before or the next night or whatever the case may be, our room was full of those guys, you know, so those were our friends. I mean, we know guys. The guy that runs Urgent Fury now, at least that I believe runs Urgent Fury right now, like I am admittedly disconnected from Urgent Fury in terms of the tournaments, but we played him in a clan war back when Urgent Fury was run by Undertow and Sniper.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
As a matter of fact, it was probably one of the most famous slash infamous rule faux pas that had ever occurred in Urgent Fury, because we ultimately we lost out in that tournament. We were poised to basically take a whole entire corner of a map, and we would have camped that map, as did the I can't remember the name of the clan now, FW or KO or
he
whatever.
He knows he was wrong.
You know what? And we have debated that privately many times. but it was I also blame that on Dr. D, wherever you're at, Dr. D. I think that might be partially your fault too. But anyway, yeah, that was. But you know what? At the same time, man, you know, that was always what made the tournament so great, is that you could disagree with each other, but you had to do it in a nice way. You could if you had a problem with the way a match went, or if you had a problem with whatever was going on, there were channels you could go through. And now it's just, I don't know. It sounds like I'm criticizing Urgent Fury, but what I'm really trying to say is that I remember when we started in Urgent Fury, it was a whole nother atmosphere. It was a whole nother thing that was going on. And while like you said, I guess we have grown, we have become more involved in the gaming industry, so to speak. I still hope that 10 years from now, if Urgent Fury is still around, I hope that that common thread will always be there, that the community is the thing that makes Urgent Fury what it is. Urgent Fury, like I said, is just a cool idea without the community. If the community...
To a lot of people, this is going to sound, like you said, like you're very bitter, like you're criticizing, but they don't know you like I know you. And I trust me, I've had, I couldn't even put a number on the amount of hours we have spent on Skype or using the PlayStation chat feature to talk and things like that. This is your way of expressing how much you love that community and you want the best for it. It's not you saying this is bad, I hate it, dude. I know you. If you didn't like the community, if you didn't like what you were doing, if you didn't believe in the product, if you didn't, and maybe that's the problem, is we're using the word product when we're talking about Urgent Fury, and we shouldn't be, you know? If you didn't believe in the community, you wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line, you know? You can do other things. You're a talented person with connections, and if you didn't believe in it, you wouldn't be there.
And that's the truth, man. It is really because I love the community, and the reason I love the community is like I said, man, there. I remember a time when it was really about camaraderie, and competition was a big part of Urgent Fury, but it wasn't the main part of Urgent Fury. It was more about not just competing, because, look, there's other places out there. Even today, there are other places out there where you can go and populate in the forums and compete and stuff like that. But I guarantee, man, like I said, you're not going to go anywhere else where you're going to be treated right. Everything's going to be out on the table. You're going to know what to expect every time you take the battlefield. But anyway, I do want to talk more about how we progressed into the position we're in now. You know, I thought that our clan was as strong as any clan I'd ever seen up until the release of Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, the very first installment of Modern Warfare. What happened, dude? What happened to the clan? To this day, I still need therapy to know what happened to the clan when Call of Duty 4 dropped.
Well, I think it's my fault, to be honest with you.
I might agree.
You know what? That's fine, because I'm happy with where we are today.
Yep.
Modern Warfare is... SOCOM was a community-based game, and that's why it was the chosen game of Urgent Fury. It just kind of sucks that Zipper crapped the bed. And, you know, if SOCOM was making amazing games still, that would be basically... I mean, I'm sure Urgent Fury still does SOCOM games, but probably not to the same extent they used to. And when Modern Warfare came out, it was about the individual, which I think is everything wrong with first-person shooters, in my opinion, the individual. But not to get into that. It was about the individual. You log on, you hit one button, you're in a game with a whole bunch of strangers, you can play two or three games, 15 minutes, you're done, you log off, you're gone. It wasn't, the mic system wasn't as good, the lobby system wasn't as good, the clan support was non-existent, and that's what happened to our clan. Is the graphics for Modern Warfare were amazing, the gameplay was actually amazing, but it had no clan support. It wasn't, our clan was about gaming, but it was about hanging out with your buddies. And that stopped with Modern Warfare. So when we started moving over to the PS3 and new games, then obviously the clan support died. The clan kind of died in that way. And I just ended up personally, I mean, you remember, I left the clan a little bit before it died. But honestly, man, I was done with the clan thing. And not to say the clan followed me, but I follow you, you follow me. And I think when I left, that was probably the beginning of the end for you, too.
Yeah, well, because, you know, just like you said, when it comes to gaming, I would say that even now, even to this day, if you're not playing, I'm probably not going to be playing. And even if I do, I'm not going to have as cool a time playing with somebody as I do you. And, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Rumpoisms, the mini Rumpoisms over the years. Of course, I can't mention any of them right now.
No.
but maybe someday we'll write a book or do something like that. But you know what? That's an interesting question, or that's an interesting point that you bring up about how Call of Duty 4
destroyed the online gaming community.
Commander Fury at UrgentFury.com. That's the email address. Drop us an email. Tell us. I want to know, if everybody out there listening, I'm curious to know if you were gaming at that time and you guys had a clan, a SOCOM clan, or any kind of clan. I'm curious to know how many people out there had a clan that folded under the pressure of the new era of shooters. Because, you know, that's something that we've actually talked about before on this podcast with other people in the industry and stuff. Is I've talked about how games no longer, and you know, I think it was Harvard Bonin Jr. with senior producer with Starhawk when he was here. I think I mentioned something to him about how Starhawk is the first game in a long time that I've seen where you can actually customize your rooms, you can manage your clan, you can do it all from a central interface on the actual game, a la SOCOM. It seems like the shooters went away from that. And for the last two or three generations of games, it seems like that they've went away from that. But now, talking to other industry people and just seeing some of the other titles that have come out and the way, even the way Battlefield, you know, me and you are big Battlefield players, the way that they've been handling their servers. I'm just curious to know how many people out there can say that there is a rash of that problem, and I hope they fix it.
I think it's a two-pronged problem, though. First of all, as we've already mentioned, the community and clan support went out the window. And it did. That's not a debate. And I say that a lot, and then people try to debate me, and I don't care to listen to them. But
That's why I love you, man.
The other problem is you and I are not built like the typical first-person shooter player. There's lots of guys in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s that play games, and none of us are in our 50s, trust me. But we're older than the average first-person shooter player. We really are. There's lots of kids that come home from high school or probably even public school, like in the younger grades, and play these games. And they don't have what you were talking about. They don't have that integrity. It's not that they're not good people, but they're kids. And they want to log on, play. Mom says dinner. They hit a couple buttons. They're gone. You know what I mean? They're not going to check the forums. They're not going to sit there and have, you know, build those personal relationships and deep conversations that we have with, you know, like Jack UK and Benzo Lamas. We've known them since day one. Not only is the people that play the games are too young to really appreciate that kind of thing, the games realized that, so they got rid of it. They just made it about nonstop, in-your-face, fast action and entertainment.
And you know what? I'm okay with that, but I think that you're forgetting a huge... Because to me, that is what made SOCOM SOCOM. That's what made SOCOM SOCOM. And the few conversations that we had with some of the guys at Zipper, and I think I remember telling you this when I got back from E3 back in 2010, the thing that blew me away about Zipper is those guys, man, were really, they were, I don't want to say that they were disappointed in the way that Confrontation had turned out and they had let somebody else develop the game, and which I thought Confrontation was okay in its own way. But, you know, I could tell that these were guys that really cared about their product. But, you know, what happens is you see a developer, man, and they take... They just look at the bottom line. I mean, I'm not going to get into a big discussion about this because we have so much other stuff we can be talking about. But it's just a shame. When Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare came out, it definitely was the beginning of the end for Rogue Seven, or for our little clan family, or whatever you want to call it. A lot of people know the rest of the story. They know that Undertow and I merged our super-powered clans and became the Ravenfall RVN, and I just ran out of time. There was no way I could apply myself and play in a clan and still live my life and be a husband and a father and all that other stuff. Plus all the stuff that I do for Urgent Fury. I just couldn't be in a clan anymore. So that was a tough... I kind of went through a depression after that. Have you suffered any kind of post-clan traumatic disorder?
No, I didn't. I was done with the clan, and I had a lot of real life stress and a lot of real life problems that I had to deal with at the time. And I know I felt bad for leaving, especially like leaving you high and dry. At least I felt like I did. I felt bad about that, but I couldn't do it, you know? And I mean, everybody wanted me to stay in the clan, but it was such a half-assed attempt on my part to participate and to be active the way that I wanted or needed to be. So I left, and I didn't have a depression. I mean, even now, sometimes I'm like, yeah, you know what? We could start up a clan. And then I think it lasts about 2 minutes and it goes away. I really like what we're doing now more than I've liked anything else that we've done. And I think what really allows me to enjoy the fact that we've moved on to other things is that the guys that we really built relationships with in the clan, we still know.
I guess that's the reason I wanted to point out that, you know, Jack Delhouse ends up as part of the Urgent Fury broadcasting team, so to speak. And you and I are doing the Nuketown Hooligans thing. And it's so cool that, and I can say this, man, with a great deal of sincerity. You know, I've got friends that I have here in my hometown. Of course, I don't live in London, Ontario, Canada, but I live in the South, the Southern United States, somewhere in the Bluegrass State. I reside here with my wife and my lovely son. But I've got friends, but you are without question, and I mean, we've actually had the pleasure of meeting each other in our personal lives, and it goes without saying, sir, that you are definitely one of my best friends. And you know, one of the reasons that he's one of my best friends, ladies and gentlemen, is probably the reason that you don't like most people, because he's honest with me. He's honest. He's always been honest. And that's one great thing that I'm honored, sir, by you being here on Urgent Frequency. And the thing is, we could talk all night, and I don't want to keep you all night, but I do want to keep this thing moving. Like you mentioned, I did do some radio. I was also a drummer in a rock band. I like to write music. I like to write songs. And
you wrote some really good music, I might add.
Well, if I can ever get the band motivated... Before I'm 50, this is my goal before I'm 50, to finish the CD. We were actually working on a CD, and the bass player, it's the typical band thing. Like, with the bass player quits, and we can't find the guitar player, and the singer gets depressed, and the drummer gets angry. And so that I think that's going to be when I write an autobiography, it's going to say the drummer gets angry. But anyway, you know, it's been a crazy ride, and to think that my life has turned into this thing where video games play such a central part to it. It blows me away sometimes. And to think of all the things I've achieved, being part of this whole thing, you know, and I'm counting down, we're counting up or counting down, however you say it, to my 100th episode. I'm going to try to do an episode every week. If I have to do 2 episodes a week, I'm going to do that. I want my 100th episode to fall on the first week of June. So possibly, and I don't know if I'm going to E3. That's the plan right this very second, but I don't know if I'll be there, but regardless, I'm going to try to have a live podcast, my 100th podcast. I'm going to try to do it from E3. So that would be fun. That would be loads of fun. Especially especially if I get you to come out to California, man.
I would love to, but I don't think that the criminals in my town are going to allow that to happen.
We won't mention what you do for a living, but he is one of those guys that goes out and takes care of the bad guys, and it is a dangerous job. job at the end of the day. And I guess
it's a lot of fun, though.
Oh, yeah. And I guess that's why gaming is such a big part of your life, because it's, it allows you to... I know for a fact that it's your way of blowing off steam, or you would probably be locked in a tower somewhere in London.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of towers, but I'd find one, I'm sure. Yeah, it definitely is. And I just wanted to, it just occurred to me as we were talking here, you've got a pretty good gig, because video, and I'm developing a pretty good gig, because video games have become something that...
You know, I think about the guys on SportsCenter or on ESPN, Mike and Mike, Dan Patrick. I think those guys have awesome jobs, because all they have to do is sit around and talk about sports all day. So I sit there and go, wow, wouldn't that be a great job? And for the last, I don't even know how many years it's been now that I've been doing this for Urgent Fury, but it's been a blast. And it's been a blast to have you on, man, because, yeah, like I said, man, you're definitely one of my best buds. And I just, I couldn't have made it without you. And I have to say that Eric Benson, aka Benzalamas, one of the strangest people I think I've ever encountered, but he's also one of the sweetest and one of the smartest people I've ever encountered.
He's like my older little brother, because sometimes he makes me furious, but if anybody else picks on him, I'll kill him.
He is I don't even know how to I would try to describe him, but I don't have the verbiage to properly express how quirky and strange this guy can be sometimes. But he's also, if I'm giving credit, he's the guy that said, hey, why don't you do a podcast? He knew that I had done radio before, and he knew that I was looking for something to do with my life that was going to be productive, something that I could actually utilize my talents for. And thank God that he suggested doing a podcast, because that's kind of how it all started. And I went to Jay and I said, what do you think about this? And he thought, hey, that sounds pretty cool. And it started out, we just wanted to talk about the community, and we wanted to talk about we wanted to make fun of the community as well, and then it turned into whatever it's turned into. But anyway, it's been a great trip, man, and I'm glad that I've spent most of it with you. I hope that we get to hang out again real soon, and you know, I could sit here all night and tell you how much I love you, darling, but I'm just glad that you I'm glad that you did this with me, man. If you were here, I think I would sincerely hug you right now.
I might cheers you a beer. You know, one of these days I'll let you have a hug. You seem like a hugger, so you might we might have to negotiate a hug per week kind of deal here.
I am a hugger, sir. I guess it's time for us to wrap this thing up. Thanks for being here. Nuketown Hooligans, I know we were going to talk more about that, and I'm sorry we didn't, but we'll definitely talk about it. Maybe you can just come back next time.
Got a lot of podcasts to do, and I got a lot of free time.
Okay, so maybe that's what we'll do. We'll plan on doing more podcasts, and he's going to help me count up or count down to the 100th podcast. It's coming up soon. Like I said, Commander Fury at UrgentFury.com. That's the email. Thanks so much for being with me, man. YouTube.com/NuketownHooligans. It's all one word. Go on over there and check it out. Please like our video. Subscribe to our videos. It would make us all very happy, wouldn't it?
It would make me happier.
Okay, it would make him happier if you would go over there.
That's a big step for me, by the way.
Okay, I appreciate you at least trying some of that happiness on. Yeah. But anyway, my good friend Rumpo Billavoy, thanks, man, for hanging out with me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And that pretty much wraps it up for this episode of Urgent Frequency. Don't forget to network with us via Twitter, on Facebook, on the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and of course on our blip.tv, Ufreak TV channel. Urgent Frequency is produced by Urgent Fury Holdings, LLC, and right here in the studio by Allison Armstrong. Until next time, I remain Commander Claymore Fury. Keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah!
Hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.